welcome back, everybody. This is Rollerball Anthony, and you are listening to episode 2 of A Yankee and King Regals Court, where we're talking all about Britt Rez. And we have a lot to talk about, although it's going to be a short time. My partner, Big Daddy Tack Brown, he's overseas. He's in the middle of a 20-hour workday. You hanging in there, bud?
Yeah, if you hear snoring as I'm going, it's because I fell asleep because I'm absolutely shattered. But yeah, it's been a long day, but it's worth it. I've got my day off tomorrow to go to Progress, so it's all good.
I'm so jealous that you're heading out there, and I know it's going to be a great show. How long is that trip for you back down into London?
It's around 2 hours, depending on traffic, so it's not too bad. We're leaving early, though. We're expecting to be in the boozer by 11, hopefully. So,
where do you have a good bar already?
Well, I've been told the place we're meeting is called the Crock of Gold, which, to be honest, it looks a bit like a chippy from the outside when I see it on Google Maps, but apparently it's a nice pub, so I'll find out when I get there.
Okay, what's a chippy?
Oh, like a fish and chip shop, sorry.
Oh, okay. I only spent all of 2 weeks over there, man. I didn't pick up all the lingo.
Well, you never went to a chippy?
No, I went to plenty of chippies. I just didn't know that's what they were called.
Oh, okay.
No, trust me. My wife made sure we went to... There was a really good spot in Mildenhall that we really liked. And I got some pretty good kebabs there. That was pretty good.
Oh, there's not really any such thing as good kebab. I mean, there is, but it just depends how many beers you've had.
I mean, it wasn't a cheeky Nando run or anything like that, but...
Oh, you didn't get... that's one thing that you have to do when you come here is a cheeky Nando, surely.
Next time,
haven't had one, you got to have one next time, yeah.
Next time, we'll do it. I think last time we did the cheeky Pizza Hut run.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what we did, didn't we? Yeah, we had a... I bet your pizza's way better. Well, your pizza is way better over there from what I've had.
But well, the Pizza Hut's a Pizza Hut no matter where you're at. So it's a bit of a wash.
Oh, okay.
But when you come, if you ever come out here, I got some good spots for you. I'll set you up with a good slice.
Good. So I'm not averse to a good piece of pizza. Well, to be honest, I'm not averse to anything that's bad for me.
Very true. All right, so hey, big news that just dropped today. Today is Saturday, the 29th of September. Big news from Fight Club Pro. They just announced that they're going to run the legendary Currican Hall in January. Tack, I just told you about this a couple of minutes ago.
Yeah,
what
that's
are your
insane.
First reactions?
It's crazy. I mean, like, it just seems like it's kind of out of left field, but also it's fantastic. Like I say, you literally just told me about it 2 minutes ago. I've been working all day, so I've got no information whatsoever. But is there any? Have they said? Is it like a class show? Is there someone? Like, are they working with another promotion, or is it just
they pretty much only tweeted out a picture of Currican. Let me bring it up on our Twitter. That is a Yank. Oh, why am I blanking on? I am so bad at giving driving traffic. Let's see here. A Yank. There we go. Yank in Court Pod. Come check us out. This is riveting podcast.
I was going to tell you, but I thought I'd just let you flap for a second while you were trying to remember it, because that way you'll learn it eventually. Then.
Exactly. You got to let me fail for me to really learn. No. So, I just pulled it up, and the only thing they really are showing right now is a Photoshop Fight Club Pro ring in Currican, and all it says is Fight Club Pro Currican Hall, Tokyo, Japan, Monday, the 7th of January, 2019.
Wow, yeah, that's huge, because that's a big old venue as well.
That is a good-sized venue. I think it's like 2,000, 3,000, yeah. Something like that. I might be wrong. But also, if you're paying attention to the dates, that's the day after a couple days after the Fallout shows from the New Japan.
I was going to say, isn't that like right around Wrestle Kingdom time, isn't it?
Yeah, so Wrestle Kingdom takes place on the 4th, and then they usually have their Fallout show on the 5th. So they're sounds like they're trying to, you know, ride that wave a little bit.
I mean, it's I don't know what exactly they're trying to pull off there yet, but I mean, I'm all for it. I love Progress have done it where they went over and did the US tour, and like, I like when companies go out of their comfort zone a bit and travel the world and spread the word a little bit. Like WXW coming here from Germany, and I like the Rev Pro New Japan shows that they do. So, yeah, I mean, we don't really know anything more about it yet, but definitely interesting, yeah.
Now, Fight Club Pro has only really run London outside of the East, or the West Midlands, right?
Yeah, as far as I know, I think there may have been a Northern show, Manchester way, at one point or another, but I've only ever seen them really in Wolverhampton, which is just down the road from me. But I've never, other than that in London, I don't think they've ever gone overseas or anything, as far as I know.
Right. So to go from just running a London show a couple days ago, or you know, like in the last couple months, to all of a sudden you're running Corrigan.
It's the other side of the world. Literally, it's the other side of the world.
Right, and I think this has to do because they've been having a lot of Mako Satomura in their promotion, and she was like the Fight Club Pro champ for a minute.
Yes.
So I'm assuming their work with her has been kind of allowed them to get this in Japan.
Yeah, they've also, I think, especially over the past year or so, they've definitely been, especially New Japan, have been more friendly with Fight Club than they have with Progress and other promotions, like allowing their guys to perform there when they haven't. Obviously, we've had the issue with Progress recently and that. So I assume one of the big Japanese promotions is giving them a lot of help with that. It might even end up being like a WrestleCon type of thing where there's going to be other shows announced for other promotions there or something. I don't know, but
yeah,
it's definitely, I mean, it's all speculation at the minute, but it's a huge thing for Fight Club. They've been growing a lot over the past few years, and that's a massive thing for them.
Now, one thing that just kind of came into my mind real quick as we were talking is because of the association of British Strong Style with WWE, it'll be interesting to see if there is any kind of crossover with Japanese promotions over there, if they're going to go with like New Japan, or if maybe Noah, since, you know, Hideo just, you know, had a show with Noah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's all going to be, to see how it all shakes out is going to be really interesting when you say that, actually, because I mean, the British Strong Style lads are WWE contracted wrestlers now. They're right. Allowed to work in very carefully chosen promotions outside of that, but yeah, that's a fair point, actually.
I mean, this is all speculation. There's nothing. The Fight Club hasn't announced really anything since just saying that they're going to run Kurikin. So it's, like you said, it's going to be a very, very interesting few months as we kind of see what's going to happen.
I'll get my investigative journalist hat on tomorrow, and I'll pop over and see Trent Seven and see if I can give him a couple of pokes and see if I can get some information out of him. See if I can get a scoop.
Oh my God! If we scoop that would be amazing. all right. So I know time is short, so let's get moving. Let's talk about some happy things as I am trying to filter out any memories of a disappointing 1-1 draw. Down in Bristol City for my beloved Aston Villa as we admire in mediocrity.
We Cov had a 1-1 today as well, but that was a good result for us because we had Sunderland today, which is big match for us. So yeah, 1-1 was a really, really good result for us.
It's amazing how the same result can inspire two different emotions.
Yeah, we haven't had the best start to the season. So like anything that isn't no points is good for us at the minute.
Right. All right. Well, obviously, as the season goes on, you're going to be hearing a lot more of our complainings. It sounds like it's going to be for our West Midlands teams. But right now, let's get into the Brits Abroad part, where we're going to pretty much focus on the Mae Young yet again. So Zaya Brookside, daughter of Robbie Brookside, and Isla Dawn both had matches. Isla yes. Dawn being a Scottish mainstay in the British scene. And she has been on my radar for a bit. She was in NXT UK, right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And
I saw her very recently at the Birmingham taping for the WWE UK.
And when and is
she
that
was very impressive.
When is that going to drop?
I from what I can gather that they're filming, cuz they've got four days over two venues planned, and as far as I can gather that they're running to October, and I think they're going to film everything and then start putting it on TV, because by that point, I mean, each day they film is three shows. So they're right. doing six shows per venue, and that'll be five venues they've filmed then. So they're basically banking like almost 6 months of TV.
Oh, wow.
Which is really good, but it seems a bit odd because there's months and months of spoilers
right
out there before anything happens. So it's different for them to do. It's very similar to the World of Sport model, actually, strangely enough.
Huh.
That's a little curio, isn't it? I wonder where they came up with that.
Well, yeah, it'll be interesting, because I've been waiting for that new NXT UK from the Birmingham tapings to drop, but especially with that, you know, the women's championship spoiler that's out there.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see how they play with that. But regardless, Isla Dawn, what are your thoughts on her just as a wrestler?
Look, that's the only time I've seen her live, and she was really impressive. She's one of the most flexible, because she's quite big, but for the size compared to some of the other girls, but for the size of her, she's incredibly flexible. I've never seen anyone like fold herself up the way she does. And she had, I don't know what finish she's been using in the Mae Young Classic, but the finish that she used, which I assume would be the same at NXT UK, looked absolutely brutal. It was like a leg sweep lariat kind of thing.
Oh, like a modified STO?
Yeah, kind of, but it looked super aggressive. It looked like when Bradshaw used to hit people with the clothesline.
Wow. Nice.
Like folded the, I can't remember who she wrestled now, but she folded her in half.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, I don't know if that's the same thing she was using, the Mae Young. Like I said, I haven't watched the Mae Young again yet. I'm still behind.
Right. Well, if you don't mind spoilers, we're going to get into it a little bit. And she faced Vancouver's Nicole Matthews. It was a pretty good hard-hitting match a lot. And but kind of, as you say, where she can fold herself up, I think that really came out as Nicole Matthews, who's like kind of the bigger wrestler. Use that to her advantage to really like get Isla Dawn to sell and sell the offense that Nicole Matthews had. So
Nicole Matthews, I've seen her somewhere, and I'm just trying to place where I've watched her. She might have popped up on one of the other, you know, the Progress Network has other shows from other places. Maybe Smash Wrestling or something like that. I've definitely seen her work before, but I can't place where.
I think it might have been Smash, since Smash is a Canadian promotion.
Yeah, so, that makes sense, yeah.
Right, yeah. But it was a good match, good hard-hitting match. Isla Dawn took a lot of offense, took a lot of, like, really stiff offense, too, and but looked really good. Unfortunately, she did take the pin. But she looked really good in the loss, and I thought she really proved that she is tough and capable.
Good, yeah. She's, from what, like I said, what I've seen of her, I really like her. She does bump around well, yeah.
Yeah, and like I said, Nicole Matthews really took advantage of that in kind of setting up the match. But, you know, kind of the big match was 19-year-old Zaya Brookside. Like I said earlier, she's the daughter of Robbie Brookside. And she faced Io Shirai, who is pretty much the legendary ace of Japanese wrestling.
Oh wow, I didn't realize that's who she was wrestling.
Yeah. So that main evented the episode, and unfortunately, Xia Brookside was pretty much there to just take a beating.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's probably an age factor there of her being so young. They've obviously got plenty of time to develop her, and some people I don't like seeing as basically as fodder, but she's that good that she's got plenty of time to make a career. 19's nothing. She's got plenty of time to make a name. And from what I've seen of her, she's really impressive already.
Oh no, yeah, I was gonna say she looked very impressive for being 19 years old, and not having, I mean, like, I don't know exactly how much experience she has pro wise, but she looked really good, especially against someone like Io Shirai, where you know, Io can kind of lay it in there.
She was probably, I mean, being that she's Robbie Brookside's daughter, she was probably born and like in a headlock within a minute.
I mean,
that's true British wrestling pedigree. So I wouldn't be surprised if she could figure four before she could walk.
I mean, it's very possible. And Robbie Brookside was ringside to watch. They said that was his first time watching her actually wrestle live.
So, oh wow, really?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, he's been at the Performance Center for years now.
Yeah, I'm sure he's seen her train, and well, saying that is, he's probably kayfabed WWE. When they say that, they probably mean in a WWE ring. I'm sure he's seen her work before.
Oh, probably. I'm positive, because I know she works the States fairly often. She just did a tour, like, I think over the summer.
Yeah, she hasn't worked a ton over here, really. She just kind of pops up on like two or three shows over the course of a week, and then she's gone again.
Yeah,
she has been over here.
She's kind of like the Manic Pixie Dream Girl. Like, she's really never one place for that long. I don't really know if she's actually like a mainstay in any promotion.
Yeah, there's nowhere that pops into my head when I think of her. I've just seen her kind of here and there.
Yeah, but so far, you know, like I said, she looked really good. Obviously, Io's going to be kind of, that's the big name signing for WWE for this.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, for this Mae Young. So obviously she was going to go, but I thought Xia looked incredibly good and has a lot of potential. So, all right, so moving on. Tomorrow, Big Four. One of them, I'm sorry. So that's the Wembley show. Are you excited?
Yep. Ridiculously excited. I'm like a kid at Christmas. I don't think we're going to sleep tonight.
So if you missed our first episode, we broke that card down into a million different pieces.
Yeah.
So go back and listen to that as a good kind of primer. But one thing we did miss is the Battle Royale.
Yep.
So what can you tell me about that?
The Battle Royale is literally, as we were recording, was when it was added to the show. It's the standard pre-show thing. Now, they haven't said what the winner gets or if the winner gets anything. I assumed it was going to be a title shot, but they haven't actually announced if that's the case yet or not. But the main guys confirmed for it so far. You've got TK Cooper, which, I mean, a lot of these names are the kind of people that everyone online was saying, oh, I wish so-and-so had a spot on the card. These are all those guys. So we've got confirmed TK Cooper, Chuck Mambo, the Pastor's on there, which you'll be very happy about.
Yeah.
Spike Treve's on there, which I'm very happy about, because he's a horrible little git, but I love to watch him work. Damon Moser, Chris Ridgeway, Roy Johnson, Big Wavy's on there. Drew Parker, Big T, Daryl Allen, Sid Scala, and Danny Jones are all confirmed so far. And then there's a few other dojo guys going to be on there as well. Like I say, I assume there's a title shot, or at least a shot at number one contender or something for the winner of that, but they haven't actually said that that's the case. I don't really know what to make of it. It might just be an exhibition match, I suppose, but that just seems a bit odd to do a Battle Royal for nothing in particular.
Right. I gotta assume that it maybe if they don't have anything announced, whoever does win it will come forward and try to like make a case. But I do like a lot of these participants. It's great to see Big Wavy back. You haven't seen him in a while. TK, I know, is, you know, kind of still trying to gain that momentum that he had before the leg break.
Yeah.
And
it's a great way to get, I mean, if it does end up as a title shot or a number one contender shot or what, it's a great way to get Pastor back into the story now that his injury issues have all been cleared up.
What was his injury?
As far as I know, it was a shoulder and, a pretty huge shoulder injury.
Oh, okay.
But then I think there was a knee injury as well, which he was kind of, he was working hurt until he got that sorted. So I think that's why he was gone for so long.
That's right. He did a dive, right?
And had a horrendous landing, yeah.
Yeah, okay, I remember that now. Yeah.
So, he was out for almost a year, I think, and then he kind of came back, but he was just shows here and there, and now he's starting. I think he must be fully healed and hopefully back on the road to greatness.
Yeah. Oh, my prayers are answered. The pastor is back. So who do you think is going to – who do you want?
I really want Spike Trevet to win it.
Really?
Yeah, I really do. I think he's had a brilliant year. He's kind of just blown up out of nowhere. I think the character – I mean, he ruffled a few feathers at first. He was a little bit too as we were saying last week about how Zach Gibson can – get the entire crowd booing him without doing anything that's problematic. He was doing a few things that were problematic at first, but he seems to have found the middle ground where he's still so easy to hate, but he's not actually having fans trying to physically assault him anymore.
Well, he's also not physically assaulting fans by spitting champagne in their face.
Yeah, exactly. But I loved the match that he had with Havoc earlier.
That was this year, a great
couple match. Months ago. Was brilliant. And he's everywhere else I've seen him, he's just been leaps and bounds improving. So I think he deserves something that's going to give him a bit of notoriety and give him a good push up the card.
Yeah. Man, for me, if I had to choose one, especially if we're looking at this as maybe pushing them into first contender territory. Pastor is obviously my boy. I want to see him back. I want to see him going after that title. Moser, I think, is due for a run, for a quality run. I think he's kind of been quietly establishing himself as a good young talent. TK's awesome. Mambo's pretty rad. Ridgeway is probably my pick for like the young, like a young lion, quote unquote, that I think has really been, I really like the way he wrestles. But right now, I mean, the pastor's back. That's my boy. That's who's kind of got me into, really into Brit Rez. So, I'm going to have to go with the pastor. I hope he takes it.
I have no problem with that at all. I'd be more than happy with that. There is to note that, I think the Progress World Cup, Chuck Mambo won.
Yes.
And historically, historically, there was only one other one, but that kind of seems to, nothing's really happened with him since then. So I don't know if this is that something. Obviously, the card got all kinds of messed around over the past few months with the New Japan issues and stuff. So I don't know if he should have figured more. So there's a fair chance that Mambo might be their guy.
Could be as kind of. But a I still reset. Think,
yeah, I'd really like Mambo. I still don't think he's ready for like the top of the card.
Yeah,
I think he still has a little bit of work. His character is so enjoyable, and he's such a lovable dude. But I don't know. He's just there's been a few things I've seen him do that's just a little bit sketchy, and it's a little bit worrying that he might not quite be ready to do. To be at the top of the card, but right. I could be wrong, but I think he might be the pick, but I kind of hope he's not just yet.
Right. No.
Also, while we're on this card,
yeah.
I've watched the, I don't know if you saw the promo that they put up for the Eddie Dennis Mark Andrews match.
Oh, I haven't watched that one yet.
Well, last week I said that I disagree with you, that I think Eddie Dennis is the heel, even though he's kind of right. I've completely changed my mind. Yeah! Since I watched that. I've come over to your side completely.
I'm telling you, he is so right. And I'm not saying after this because I'm a teacher and everything, and I think it's awesome that he used to be a headmaster. Everything he says is based in truth. He has been, like, used by Andrews in everything. Yeah. Never got a break. When he finally got a break, you know.
It was the part where they showed from his promo again, where he went back and he said, Eddie Dennis was talking about how he explained each way, like we called him a user, but then he explained why.
Yes.
And he was like, you even used your parents for free rent. You used pro wrestling to get your shitty band over.
Ah.
It was like, and I was like, and he was right. I can't disagree with anything he said. And I do still think he's being a bit naughty about it, but I do think he's kind of like the default babyface going in. Because Andrews hasn't had an answer for it other than, well, now I want to fight.
He hasn't. So, I think that's been my biggest thing about the whole thing is that Andrews literally just like, oh, Eddie, you're just mad. Oh, Eddie, like, I'm not going to fight you. You're my friend. Oh, Eddie, this, that. Almost like he's like patronizing him. And then finally when he was like, you use wrestling for your band, that's when he decided to get angry. It's like, come on, man. Yeah.
It's almost like the truth hurts, isn't it?
Right.
Like that was what caused the reaction.
Well, and it's like
he's been found out.
And also, if you look at it, like someone that is, and I'm not saying Mark Andrews like shoot is like this, but like someone that is using everyone else is just gonna like not want to draw attention to it, or you know, kind of try to keep it as much. You know, downplay the
ultra defensive when attention is drawn to it, which is precisely what has happened.
Right. So, I'm so happy that you're on my side now. So happy.
And it's also, that's for a title shot, right? Is that like, they've not really explained if that's a cash-inable title shot.
If it is, it's a real money in the bank situation.
So there's nothing to say that he doesn't leave Wembley champ. Which is something I never really considered before, but when I think about it, is a concept I can really get behind.
Oh my God. That is... Because we've seen progress in the past, or progress, sorry, in the past, use like contract stipulations in like incredibly smart ways, like when Havoc used it to win the title.
Yeah.
You know, and so sometimes they lay this path out very subtly. So this could be, this could be a fun.
It's almost like that meme to like where there's the like zooming in on the guy's face and there's like maths equations all floated in front of him. That's the kind of moment I had was like, wait a minute, this could work. Eddie Dennis could end up being progress champion. Like
which would be
this time tomorrow,
which would be an insane way to like in that show.
Yeah.
That would have everyone talking and now everyone want to be coming back in to see like the fallout of that.
Yeah, definitely.
So, oh my God, that's now you got me like even more excited for tomorrow. I'm not even going to be there. I have to wait like 2 or 3 days till it drops on progress. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. But also, so like, let's move on into Pro Wrestling Eve, who's also having a huge tournament this weekend.
Yeah.
So that
is something that we touched on it last week, but it's something that needs, like you said, a bit more of a spotlight, I think, because it's a pretty huge tournament, and Pro Wrestling Eve have been getting better and better over the past few months, and it's a show that it's an all women show, which is quite a rare thing over here still, and it's something that I think really needs to be taken notice of because they're doing some incredible stuff there.
I mean, shoot, it's been a rare thing in the States. You know, I think that off the top of my head, there's maybe 3 or 4 promotions I think that do it on a regular basis.
Yeah, I think oh, really here there's Eve pretty much. There's other smaller ones, but Eve's the only one that's really consistently putting on shows and consistently putting on high quality shows as well.
Mm-hmm. So it's the She One. It's today's having their first show.
Their first show was today. Yeah. So the results are up for today's show.
All right. So we'll have the fallout, or at least a kind of go over who are the winners or losers next week. But let's just kind of go down the what has been announced so far, at least that we have in front of us. First off, Freaky Princess versus the Freaky Princess Sierra Loxton versus Jordynne Grace.
Yep.
That's a fantastic Haas match, ain't it?
Yeah, Jordynne Grace. I found her first on Instagram, and I just became obsessed with her because she's so powerful, it's ridiculous. She's genuinely like, if I had to stand in the ring opposite her, I'd be terrified. And then her showing at All In, I think she was like the, I mean, obviously there was more impactful performances, but in terms of like coming out of nowhere and making a name for herself, I think Jordynne Grace was the one who did that.
I think so. I think she definitely, well, she was the only female in that battle royal. She's the only woman in the battle royal. She powerbombed Brian Cage, who I personally know, and he is not a small man.
Yeah.
And
it's about as wide as he is tall, isn't he? That
he really is. That's not a exaggeration.
Big old dude, yeah.
But she came out looking very good. She's taking on Sierra Loxton, who's also kind of a bigger girl, but she is awesome. I love Sierra Loxton.
Yeah, she's another one that I've seen bits of her here and there, and everything I've seen of her I really like.
Yeah, she's popped up in Progress a couple of times for Dome shows, for the specifically that all-woman show they ran.
That's right, yeah.
And I really like her. I think that's going to be a really fun, good match.
Yeah, it should be. I do actually know the result of it, but I don't want to spoil it for anyone who's not watched it yet.
Oh, bless your heart. Bless your heart. second up, we got Chihiro Hashimoto versus the Alpha Female.
Yeah, who was in last year's Mae Young Classic.
Who had a great... Year. Yeah, she had a great match against Kimberly.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, she's like the Alpha Female couldn't be a better name for her. She's incredibly impressive in the ring.
She's from WXW, right? Or...
That's right. Yeah, she came up through WX as well as other places. Yeah, she's via Germany. Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, I really liked her. I haven't seen too much outside of the Mae Young Classic. You know, the German stuff is still something I've been wanting to get into, just haven't quite pulled the trigger on it yet. Yeah. And I don't know much about Chihiro Hashimoto, so I think this one's a little bit of a dark spot for me.
Yeah, just the fact that Alpha Female's in it. That would always pique my interest because I became a big fan of her when she was. I kind of went back and found a few of her WXW shows and matches and that afterwards just to see what she was all about. And she is ridiculously impressive. I think she was a power lifter or something like that before.
Yeah,
and you can really see that in her moveset. Like she throws women around the ring, and in fact she throws very large men around the ring as well quite often with the greatest of ease.
Right.
There is a match. I don't think, was it WXW? There is a match somewhere in the doldrums of YouTube where she was in a tag versus Walter and Thatcher.
Oh.
It was either YouTube or Daily Motion. I can't remember who she was tagging with, but there is a spot where she gives basically the world's strongest slam to Walter, which is quite impressive.
I'm watching that.
So I'll find it and I'll send you the link for it. I'll dig it out.
Yeah, that'd be great. I love Thatcher. I love Walter. I think that's gonna be a lot of fun to watch. And then last match that we have in front of us is Laura Di Matteo versus the Scottish Daredevil, Kaylee Ray. I love this match. I can't wait to watch it.
I'm not sure if it's depending on the two different places I saw the card. I'm not sure if that's a qualifier or if that's. I think that's a number one contenders match. I think the winner of that gets a shot at the She One main event.
Oh.
Gets a shot at. Blanking on the champion's name again now.
Charlie Morgan.
Tell him sleep, can't you? Charlie Morgan, yeah. I think the winner gets a shot at Charlie Morgan.
I love this match. Kaylee Ray's really been someone that I've kind of been catching glimpses of here and there over the last year since last year's Mae Young Classic. She's incredibly smooth. I think she's awesome. But Laura DiMatteo, that's my girl. I've been a big fan of her. And I've seen all her stuff in progress, and she is by far one of my favorite women.
Her program with Ginny in progress was one of my favorite storylines in progress.
Oh, it was amazing. And then when she finally started breaking through, and you actually, and then when they kind of took the governors off of her, and she really like showed what she could do. Oh,
yeah.
So amazing. I think this match is going to be one of the better women's matches of the month, if not year.
Yeah, that could be absolutely fantastic. Kaylee Ray's another one who she's a lot like Ginny, where she doesn't look all that much, and then when she starts going, she's just unbelievable. I'm trying to think who it was that I saw her wrestle. She wrestled at one of my local shows in a hardcore match last year. And she's throwing people off balconies and going through tables and power bombs like to the outside from the top rope and just all kinds of ridiculous. Mikey Whiplash, it was.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and she was just bouncing around the place and just doing things that most male wrestlers probably would think twice about doing. Which is why I think she's an important one to watch, because she doesn't wrestle a women's style; she just wrestles a universal style.
Yeah.
And that I think she's quite important. Quite an important one to watch as she comes up. She doesn't do the female centric moves. She's a wrestler, not just a female wrestler, which I think is quite a cool thing for her. And she's got just charisma for days.
I think that can be said about a lot of British wrestlers, of women wrestlers, where they just have an overall like wrestling style, like straight up. And also, it shows that like. There are some, like, underrated talent coming out of Scotland.
Yeah. It's the ICW thing. The ICW just seems to have this knack of just creating names out of thin air.
That's ICW, I think, is maybe one of the most slept-on promotions in Britain, if not the world right now. Because, like, I mean, they're the Suge Knight house parties are like drawing like 4,000.
Yeah,
it's insane the numbers they're doing.
Yeah, it's a weird promotion because it's super local. It outside of Scotland, nobody cares about it. But as soon as you cross, there's people who. They don't like, you know how you'll say to somebody, like ask someone if they watch wrestling and it'll be, oh no, I just watch a bit of WWE or whatever.
Uh-huh.
There's people up there who don't watch anything else but ICW, and it's a lot of people as well.
Really?
Yeah. There's quite a few people that I've met in person that I know online. I met a girl, at the big Manchester Progress show, and she'd never watched anything but ICW, and that was her first shot of going to something other than ICW was coming to a progress show.
Oh my god.
And she'd been watching ICW for years and years. She'd watched WWE when she was a kid, uh-huh. And then she just went along to an ICW show, and that's all she'd ever watched as an adult was ICW. And it turns out that's not that uncommon. It's kind of its own little world,
huh,
where some fantastic names come out of.
Yeah, no, ICW's like, I've never watched a full show. I've only seen, you know, clips and matches here and there on YouTube. But like when Grado won the championship from Drew McIntyre, it looked and felt like Attitude Era wrestling.
Yeah,
it was what they're doing up there is again It's amazing, and just how they keep pumping out insane talent.
Yeah, it's weird. Like some of the people, like I mean, Kaylee Ray is an example where they kind of she's kind of new to everyone, but she's already had like a 4-year career there. She's worked in front of 4,000 people for ICW many times. But then when she comes out of there, it's like, oh, who's this new person? And it's like she's already like a 5-year ring veteran, and she's got a career, and she's got a legion of fans.
Yeah,
but they're all just in Scotland.
Yeah. Oh, it's I love Kaylee Ray, and I love you know what I've seen of ICW, and it's like you said, it's its own like weird. You get above Hadrian's Wall, and all of a sudden, it's a whole other world.
Yeah. There's a history teacher and you're coming out knowing things like that.
Man, I'm trying. I got to keep it fresh in my mind. And I just got to drop knowledge every now and then. It feels good.
I used to have a Scottish history teacher who tried to tell us that it was actually called Hadrian's Wall, but the guy who named it sneezed as he said it. And he tried to get that joke over for so many years. And for so many years, we were like, that's the most horrific piece of comedy I've ever heard in my life.
History teachers are not known for their comedic timing, so I can definitely see that. It's just sad that he tried to get that over so much.
Yeah, so many times, like at least 5 or 6 times he tried it.
Brother, you gotta dump it when you have to.
You gotta know when to cut.
Oh man, I'll try a joke on my students every now and then, and if it doesn't go, I'm like, well, that's never happening ever again. I will cut that so hard. But speaking of history,
beautiful
throwback, Doug Williams versus Eddie Guerrero, FMW Revival King of England 2002. This was finding gold, Jack. How do you
feel? That was the magical lords of YouTube just dropping that in my lap. Like a gift from the wrestling gods.
So how much do you remember about FWA Revival? How much do you remember about that? It was like a one-night tournament?
Yeah, it was like it was kind of like a wrestling World Cup kind of thing where they brought in people from all over the world. It's pretty hard to find. Like you can only really watch it piecemeal. I haven't found a version of it where it's all there.
Uh-huh.
But from what I can gather, it's a one-night tournament. And that's all I can really find out about it.
So I've kind of did some deep diving. I got onto the forums of ProWrestlingOnly.com. I think, and I might have a virus now. I don't know yet. But I really had to dust off my archaeology one semester lecture class to like find this. But apparently... from what I'm reading off of a ProWrestlingOnly.com forum member, Tony Pulis's cap, I don't know what that means. I'm sure that's...
I am thinking of the right promotion. It's Frontier Wrestling Alliance,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
So apparently they ran a one-night eight-man tournament, kind of coming off of the Attitude Era where wrestling was really hot. Happened in 2002. Right. I have the card in front of me. They had Grandmaster Sexay, Thunder, Drew McDonald, Robbie Brookside was on there, who we talked about earlier. Eddie Guerrero, Scott Parker, Doug Williams, Flash Barker, Jody Fleisch, Johnny Storm, to name a few, or to name all of them. I think that's all of them. But yeah, so it was a one-night tournament. It was held at the Crystal Palace Indoor Arena, 1,800 in attendance, which is a pretty good draw.
Yeah, it's like a classic British wrestling arena, that is.
Yeah,
it used to be a lot of like the big show of the year for certain indies would run the Crystal Palace Arena.
Oh wow, okay, so it makes sense as why it's there.
Yeah.
But the match is up on YouTube. We'll post a link on it on our Twitter. And I love it because you could tell it was uploaded from tape.
Yeah, definitely.
So you can see some tracking going on, which is awesome. And it just has that good, just old school feel to it, just like as a wrestling fan, like where it's like, it's amazing that you can Nitro. And
yeah, it's amazing that you can film something on a potato, isn't it? You can do
that, but yeah, no, definitely. So, but what did you think of this match?
It was, when I saw it come up on my YouTube, it was everything I wanted it to be. Like, I was just thinking, it shows you, and like, I know I should have a British one, but my all-time favorite wrestler is Eddie Guerrero. Mm-hmm. And the reason he's my all-time favorite is because he can hang with anybody. Like, he'll fly with Rey Mysterio, he'll brawl and go super technical with Kurt Angle, and he'll wrestle catch as catch can. Yeah. British catch wrestling with Doug Williams, which is exactly what I wanted to see, was him basically adopt Doug Williams' style and the two of them go move for move. And that's exactly what I got. And it was nice to see, because Doug Williams can be a little bit hammy sometimes, mm-hmm. especially around that time. So to see him in a real serious match with one of the greatest, or in my opinion, the greatest wrestler of all time, was a nice reminder of how good he really is.
I thought Guerrero did great in this match to kind of adapt to that British style that Doug Williams really like has. And yeah. I think the big thing was to see him do it with Lucha moves.
Yeah.
With the Lucha holds and everything. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing how well those two styles fit together.
Yeah, you wouldn't think, like, looking at it.
Yeah, when they're so far apart, and yet their two styles slide together perfectly.
Yeah.
Which is a testament to how good both wrestlers are as well, because
right.
you could probably have, if you took two lesser, a lesser Lucha wrestler and a lesser catch-style British wrestler, and it could be an absolute clusterfuck, but those two, it showed you how good both of them are to be able to put on, because it's only a 10-minute match, but it's 10 minutes that there isn't really a wrong move in there. And the first time I watched it, I thought the finish was messed up, because the way the ref counts, I thought he was counting
expecting
Doug's shoulders down. Yeah. Like he was expecting it to go the other way. And then I realized, to go back and watch it again, and I realized what actually happened, and it's a really cool finish.
Yeah, no, I love the way it finished with, so if you haven't seen the match yet, Eddie Guerrero goes for the La Magistral cradle, and then Doug Williams just kind of like stops it mid and then just pins him off of it. And I think that's for the story they were telling, which is catch as catch can. That's a perfect ending.
Yeah, it's the perfect reversal to the perfect counter to that move. I'm glad you knew what that toss style of pin was called, because I had no idea. You know what it's called, but I can't say it.
Right. Oh yeah. I don't even know if I said it right. I'm slowly learning Spanish from my school. So I'm pretty sure I got it halfway decently. I don't know. I'll probably get made fun of when my students hear this. So
eventually. Well, you fooled me. Yeah. I thought it sounded good to me.
But no, I thought it was a great ending. Like I said, like it kind of keeps, you know, Guerrero, who is a one-off, you know, like looking strong, and he just got caught, and which happens in sports. Sometimes you just get caught.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
And I thought that was, I think that's something that needs to be told more, besides just like, oh, he got the roll-up. It's like, no, like, he knew the counter to that one. He just caught it at the right time.
Yeah, I missed that old English commentary as well.
I love that commentary.
Like it seems like over you guys over in America, your commentary kind of moved on like 25 years before ours did, because this wasn't that long ago.
Yeah,
but it still sounds like it should be in black and white, and all, like, you know how on those old black and white football, when you see like their legs moving really fast, it sounds like it should be like that. Oh, a wonderful move there from Guerrero, and he's managed to flip him right over there.
Yeah, no, well, it was the two hosts, Tommy Boyd and Alex Shane, I guess, were the two guys on the commentary. I loved it. It was two people, or two hosts, commenting on sport.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Yeah, it was a little jet. I don't know what I did right that day, but it was lovely for YouTube to throw that up for us, because that couldn't have been better.
No, it was amazing. I love this match. I'm probably going to watch it like a couple more times this weekend.
Yeah, I watched it a good, two or three times as soon as I found it, yeah.
Nice. All right, well, we need to get you back to work. Don't want to.
Yeah, I was getting the high sign about 10 minutes ago, but yeah, there's more important things. Sadly, I've got to go and earn some money so I can spend it all at Wembley tomorrow.
Oh, I'm so jealous. I'm so jealous. But yeah, so let's get you going to Wembley. So next week we'll break down the card.
Yeah, because this will go up just after Wembley's happened, but we don't want to be a spoiler cast, so it'll be next weekend that the so everyone's had a chance to watch the show before we talk about it.
Right, I'm real excited. This is going to be a lot of fun to watch. I'm so jealous of you that you get to go down there.
I'll throw some pics up on Twitter and that, so you can all see. So I think I'm like 8th or 10th row from the ring, so I've got a really good spot as well.
Oh,
so yeah, it should be great.
That's going to be awesome. Yeah. So again, if you want to follow everything as Tack kind of goes down, he'll be tweeting from @YankInCourtPod. You can also, what's your regular Twitter?
It's just @TackBrown, TACC, and then Brown like the color.
And then you can catch me @FoilSun. I am under a hood. I'm trying to keep it, as you know, I am a teacher, so I'm trying to not get fired. yeah, so follow us. Thank you again for listening to episode 2. If you can, go to iTunes, rate, review, subscribe, help get the word out, tweet, retweet, you know, Tumble, all that stuff. Help get our name out as we begin this podcast. So with that said, have fun at the rest of your day at work, and have fun down in London tomorrow.
Thank you, man. I can't wait. I'm going to drink so much beer.
I know. I got some whiskey waiting for me tonight, so I can't wait.
Awesome.
All right, brother. Hey, good talking to you, man.
All right, man. I'll see you soon.
All right. Sounds good.